brings us in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
You know what would happen is if somebody ever... hope you never get diabetic and you lose your fingers, because you wouldn't be able to do that 5-4-3-2-1 anymore.
Well, that's what I use with my mouth. I could use my elbow.
Yeah, elbows. Okay, make dark marks.
Yeah. And if he really gets good, he can use his toes.
I could.
You know, usually those go first.
The toes do go first.
That goes first. You know, those of us that have diabetes in the family, you know, we know which parts of the body they donate quickly. That's toes go first.
Yeah, sadly.
How about using a little vocal grease? You're hearing Joe Martech. This is the Team Martech Show. You can call us at 888-221-8990.
And that's our special guest member, Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from the great state. You know, I hate, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin. I look at those neck and neck, and they call them great states because you live there. But I'm great that I'm not there. I mean, you like being frozen?
No, that's why I'm down here.
On here.
Yeah.
In fact, Vince is from New York. I'm from Michigan. You're from Wisconsin. Where are you from, Dave?
Maine.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Love it up there in Maine.
Maine. You're a maniac.
I've been for many years, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I love that.
Unapologetic.
Until he was saved.
But that was
that's right.
That's the greatest label of any of the states, maniac.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it
lends itself, you know.
It's perfect. Now I understand everything. It's all coming into clear
Don't
focus.
Don't you think Mackinac in Michigan is closer to maniac?
Yeah, but we don't call Michigan Maniacers.
No.
Or Mackinac.
Exactly.
It's also pronounced Mackinac.
Mackinac.
Mackinac, yeah.
See, Michigans are Michiganders. We sound like dead geese.
You sound like geese, yeah. Michiganders.
Michigander. I mean, boy, oh boy. Cheeseheads, Wisconsin, right?
Right.
I mean, there are some labels that are just not too complimentary.
No.
Maniac, I think, fits very well. 888-221-8990. All right, class, write that number down next to your phone. You're supposed to keep that handy because we have Vince Rosino, CPA. Not only a CPA, a forensic CPA, and that means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. And, to put it mildly, he's old, but not that old.
Not as old as you, Joe.
That's where I was trying to cut you off at the knee there quick before I got caught. That was a stupid statement because I knew you were going to get me.
Certainly the oldest one here.
But this is not a pretty picture, is it?
No.
No, I don't like that. Anyway.
Good thing they don't see us on the video.
I know. They'd know automatically that I look younger than the rest of you guys, but that's okay. That's nothing to do with it. And Vince also taught university level in the great state of New York before he moved down to Florida.
That's true. Not at Columbia.
But not at Columbia because that was, I see, I had to set you up for that because you knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. But I taught at a great institution.
Big school.
State University of New York.
Yep.
Old Westbury.
Back in 2004, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, Joe Martek, financial advisor, said, let's start doing radio shows. And Greg, our attorney, said, why? And I said, well, Greg, each one of us has a different area of expertise that the other one does not have, and a lot of the things that we do, we flow one into the other. Like how many times, Vince, if we talk to a client of ours complaining about their insurance, we say, call Dan.
That's right.
Dan is the, in my not too humble opinion, the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, and why do I say that? Well, one, he's been in business a long time, 40 years, give or take. Two, he may have the biggest book of business on the Treasure Coast, and that doesn't mean much to the average person, but when you have thousands of customers and you do a good job and you're honest, all these different insurance companies want Dan's business because Dan writes good business.
And he's just a good man.
Mm. Now, when you did it, he also happens to be the deacon of his church. He's a,
that's right.
And he's a flat good man. One time when I was in deep trouble and I wanted to borrow $5,000, he said, no, but I'll pray for you. So he isn't quite that good.
Yes.
Got to draw the line somewhere.
Anyway, I'm kidding. But anyway, the concept is, and Greg Fasula, I have an attorney story that I'm going to get into in a minute, which just upsets me to no end, but this is nothing I can do about it. But I'll tell you the story because most of us, I think, are trained or raised to believe that attorneys and doctors are they're special people. They've got more education than most, and they're supposed to be honest and not gougers and fair. Like Alan is a retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin. Now that means he never cared about making money.
To a point, but what you're driving at,
you had to be here to see this. Everybody turned
like
Alan.
This is like the breaststroke, right?
Wait a minute.
You know how he's sitting over there trying to nod off, and I woke him right up.
No, what you're driving at is when you get a CPA, a doctor, you get certified in your industry or a lawyer, you have a aura of more responsibility and more trust. That's what you're portraying.
Supposed to be, right.
So people get that feeling from you, but it's up to you to be ethical and to have integrity and run your business properly, and you're going to tell a story very shortly about somebody who didn't.
And what happens is, I've lived in Stewart now since 84, and I've met quite a few local attorneys over the time, and two in particular are not practicing anymore. They may be dead, but you know, because we're all old. And they quit practicing, but not because they got old, but because of the word integrity. Where it used to be, they'd say, you know, I'd meet another attorney, opposing attorney, we'd shake hands, we would agree, and I could trust him. Well, he said, those days are gone. New guys come in, they're not trustworthy anymore, but they give you their word, and it doesn't count. And that's a sad, sad thing, because Vince, you were raised, I was raised, and I guarantee you, you were raised that when a man shakes his hand and gives you his word, that was sacred. You know, that really counted points. And it's kind of sad that it doesn't happen. So anyway, the three of us started doing the radio shows. This is back in 2004. And then over a period of time, we added Vince Rosino, CPA. It was necessary to have somebody to answer the questions to do with tax changes and filing and all. Well, it's voluminous and it never ends. Then we also added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. That was during the height of the Great Recession, because words like short sales and foreclosures and deed backs and the media were saying things that weren't necessarily true about mortgages and about real estate. And she happens to be the hardest working person I've ever known in my whole life. I've known her since 1980. Mm. And for somebody that's only 30 years old, that's hard
to
imagine.
Pretty, you know? Pretty good.
But you couldn't make this girl lie if you tried. She's going to tell you straight out the truth. And sometimes that can come back to haunt you, because Victoria is that way. She's Miss Bubbles, and she's going to tell you exactly. Which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and man, oh man. Mike said he might be here today, but he's been busy.
Thank the Lord for that.
Isn't that the truth? And what happens is, when you've got somebody like Mike, because during the height of the Great Recession, it was said that there was no mortgage money available, which was never true. What happened is the rules changed, and the new rules went back to the old rules, which was you had to prove you could make the payment. What a system, huh? In fact, yeah. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, which are the two government quasi agencies, they call them that. They buy mortgages from banks and from brokers and everybody. You might have somebody servicing it that's called a bank or somebody else, but the actual loan is owned by Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, and they basically never had a credit requirement. They had a requirement called ability to pay. You had to prove that you could make the payment. Now, how did you do that? Here's my income. Here's my expenses. How long you been on the job? 2 weeks. Well, you're not looking so good. Can you come back when you got 6 months on the job? Because we're looking for some continuity in order to qualify for this $100,000 loan. So, anyway, today it's back to the basic rules, and they do use credit scores today because it's something that's easily available. Years ago, they didn't have such things, and they didn't have the computers and all of that. So the nature of the group, very simply, and Joe Martek's a financial advisor, had some people come up from Fort Lauderdale today that I'm going to help them with some a death claim and some insurance problems. But as I said, everybody in our group is here to help you and educate you. And I think the biggest single word is educate. We try not to use industry words because we get used to them when we're talking to each other. But the average consumer doesn't have a clue what we're talking about, which leads me to attorneys.
Go ahead, I'm ready.
He's ready.
That's our messy Jew who used to teach the breaststroke at the synagogue. That's an inside joke, folks. We're not going to tell you because I wish we could record.
Go back to the June archives, people.
We need to do that show again. We do best of. We should always use that show.
You're right.
That was hilarious. That was a riot. Alan was always looking severe, and he's really intense because typical attorney, he was almost pooping his pants. He was laughing so hard.
That's exactly right. I think all of us were. It took us 5 minutes
Alan,
to compose.
You were laughing hard even before you got started because you didn't know why we were laughing at you.
Well, we were laughing with him at that point.
You want to tell the attorney story?
it was a preamble attorney story.
I see.
So anyway, buddy, that sounded really funny.
Right. Are you done with the preamble, the prologue? If you are, go.
Yeah. Oh.
And I guess I've been told. I got to tell this story first. The show's still on. Can I tell the story?
Yeah. No,
okay. You don't want me to postpone it anymore?
No.
So, a buddy of mine, his dad dies. And dad leaves a lot of money. And buddy of mine doesn't have a clue. And he's like a normal person. You know, you don't know these things. And dad has a trust. And dad's pretty substantial. So he has one thing that's not in the trust that should be in the trust, and that's called a bank account, which has got about $25,000 in it. So he goes to this attorney, and the attorney says, that's got to go through probate. And he says, okay, because he doesn't know any better. And he said, what else do you have that's not in the trust? He says, well, I got this old Lincoln. Oh, that has to go through probate. And I got furniture in the house. Oh, that has to go through probate. Anyway. So he evidently agreed to this, and the attorney started it, and he gave him a choice. You can pay me $400 an hour or $30,000.
Wow. Are you serious?
I am.
He's still alive?
The attorney.
Yeah, no, the guy, the client.
But the son is who inherited dad's trust, who is the successor trustee.
Oh, he's the successor trustee.
Now,
okay,
understand, folks, a trust is like a will, but a trust is an inanimate object. Let's take your kitchen table. And let's say you give your house to the table, you give your bank account to the table, you give your life insurance, whatever you do, you give everything to the table. That table has no mind. That table cannot make any decisions. You, as trustee, make the decisions for that table so you can buy, sell, do whatever you want. Now, when you die, you now have what's called a successor trustee, the next person in line, and in that document, this trust, it says, here's what you do. Now it's in concrete. You're supposed to do exactly what it says to do in that thing. So what it says is, okay, fine, here's everything. You divvy it up according to percentages, according to what it says in the trust, and you're in charge of it. And that's all there is to it. So he says, well, what do you charge? What do you do? And I says, keep track of your expenses. You do your expenses. And it's not abnormal for a successor trustee to get a 1% fee to handle everything for the year. You don't have to, but I'm just saying this is not abnormal. So somebody told him he could get 3%, which is okay. He probably could, but it's, to me, that's not really fair. But anyway, and this is a couple mil. So it's not, it's called, you know, penny ante. But he's got this 25 grand. So he says, probate, have to do that. Now, probate's got to go ads in the paper, and you're going to take, if everything goes perfect, 3 months, and normally it's more like 6 months, and that's if your illegitimate son, Joe Martek, doesn't come along and say, hey, that's my dad, I want a piece of it. Now it could take 2 or 3 years in an argument, but normally for 25,000, it's not going to. So he tells me this, and I said, huh, this doesn't sound right. And I said, let's go meet this attorney, because good firm, go meet the attorney. Looks like an attorney, sounds like an attorney. And I said, I'm not here to cash judgment, but forgive me, this bank account, there's a will along with the trust. Normally we call that a pour-over will. And the will says if things aren't put in the trust that should have been put in the trust, we're going to put them in the trust. And you go through not probate, but an administration, which can take 2 or 3 weeks. He goes, oh no, it takes a lot longer than that. And I says, okay, a month. And he says, makes no difference, it's about the same thing. And I said, well, excuse me, the probate period can take 6 months if everything is normal. The administration takes a short period of time, 2-3 weeks, maybe a month. And the cost to do it is insignificant compared to going all the way through the probate process. So why wouldn't you do this administration? He said, well, it's about the same thing. And besides, there's 3 other assets that might have to go through probate, too. And I said, you know, I'm here because of my bud, and I'm not here to argue with him. And he says, let me tell you right now, I'm not here to talk about financial services either. I'm the attorney. Uh-huh. So that really made me feel wonderful. So now he won't look at me, and he's talking to just my bud, who's not too happy. But we get out of there, and without a scene, you know, he was a little worried I might make a scene. Can you imagine me making a scene?
Not you, Joe.
I know.
You are the scene.
I know. Thank you. Thank you. So we leave, and of course, the expletives deleted happened in the parking lot and in the car. And I said, well, let's call Greg and make an appointment and go see him. So called Greg, made an appointment. Up to Greg we go. Tell Greg the story, and Greg says, not good. He said, number one, he's already started the probate process. To fire him and do the administration might take more time than it is to let him just take that through probate. Now, there's the magic of Greg Fasula. This guy, in a heartbeat, would have fired that attorney and hired Greg, and Greg could have done it. But Greg will not take advantage of anybody. He will tell him the straight skinny and just do what's the right thing to do for people. So all it amounted to was, I said, now you, buddy of mine, go back and tell this attorney, under no circumstances do you probate anything else. I'm in charge of the trust. The trust document says I have liberal authority to do whatever I want, and I've got my sister and my brother and me, and we're fine. So you don't want to be gouged. But what I'm trying to say is, folks, you're hearing words that you don't hear, and you know, when somebody dies, this is a new experience. And if they leave money, it's even a newer experience. And when they have documents called wills and trusts and power of attorneys and healthcare surrogates and living wills, all of these things we take for granted, but you don't need to. The key thing is this. Just don't listen blindly to anybody. What you need to do is, that's why we're here. Number one is to educate. Am I doing a fair job on this, attorney?
You're doing a very fair job, and I'll just add this, Joe, that you're talking about millions of dollars possibly here. So don't look at a TV ad and the slickest TV ad and go to that attorney. Just like you're doing due diligence for buying a home or buying something else that's expensive, go talk to two or three trust and estates attorneys. See what they've got to say. Most attorneys will give you a free consultation.
Well, of course they will, up front. One of the problems that happened with this, so Dad had his accounts with a really well-known brokerage firm, and the brokerage firm recommended this attorney.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's no different than me with Greg. So he goes there because Dad was with this brokerage firm forever. So I went to meet with the brokerage firm also. Here was another thing, Vince, I have never seen in my entire life. And you and I and Alan, you two, all three of us have lived along a long, long time, and we've seen lots of stuff, but it never fails to amaze me. Something new comes up every once in a while. And what happened with this one was...
Was what?
Yeah. I'm closing the door to knock out the people out in the other room. Anyway... Well, that didn't work. I just brought him right back in. Can't we have the door closed? No?
Well, Victoria's here.
Well, let her come. She knows how to open doors. She's a big girl.
Yes. Victoria has opened
many doors. Yes, she's opened many doors.
She's opened many doors. Yeah. Yeah. Remember, she said,
and there she is.
Told you she could open a door.
Oh, hey.
Lady in red, you know.
Whoa. Yeah.
Looking good.
Hartwig.
Harvey?
Oh, Heart Week. Harvey Week.
No, that was the other guy.
That's Harvey the Heart.
Well, anyway, here comes something I have never seen. Now, let's say you were the CPA and somebody did this. Husband and wife, two trusts. Wife dies.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Her trust automatically goes to the successor trustee, which is her husband.
Got it.
Right?
Yep.
What do you do?
Excuse me, what do you do?
What do you do? They come in to see you and say, hey, mom died. You're my accountant. We have two trusts. I want to put it. What do you say?
First thing I say is, let me have a copy of the trust document.
Right. One.
So I read it. And then we see the specificity of the trust. If it's a pour over, then we know that those assets will pour over or get put into the second trust.
Oh. She died 8 years ago. That was never done.
Hmm.
I like that. Well, you ever heard that word? Same old.
Interesting.
I have never seen that in my entire life.
That is, it's a legal problem.
So then they tell him, he says, and even they had to agree. I said, hey, liquidate everything because you're going to have to disperse money and you're going to give it out. They said, okay, but there's probably $40,000 in taxes due on mom's trust because it was never transferred to Dad. And they never made one sale, purchase, or sale in 8 years, which I'm having a hard time
with. So this trust presumably earned money.
Yeah.
The interest, dividend, and whatever, capital gain, and just sat there.
Well,
never filed a tax return for the trust. What kind of trust was it? Was it a revocable?
Yeah,
living trust?
It's a living trust, revocable trust.
Okay, well, then who's reporting? The banks or the brokerage should be reporting the interest earnings.
They had to.
To someplace.
They
whether
had.
Whether it was to the trust or to an individual Social Security
number. He said, no, his son says, they did a tax return for mom every year.
Well,
I said, mom's dead.
Yeah, how do you do a tax return for a dead person?
I mean, I'm having a hard...
Well, who signed it?
I'm having a real hard time. Now, the son is saying, hey, Joe, look it. I don't know what I'm doing here, and I am not going to get into an argument with everybody. I've already got a problem with the attorney, and if I had talked to you before we started doing this, I might have a chance, but things have already been set in motion, and I don't want to keep messing with it for the next year because maybe there's some liability on the broker's part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But why do they feel there's debt to be owed by the...
Rule is, somebody dies today, you inherit it at today's value. Well, in
right.
8 years, it's gone up enough that there's taxes due if they liquidate it today.
Yeah, but if they've been paying taxes all along, albeit not in the right name, maybe in the name of the deceased,
but
somebody's paying those taxes.
Well, okay, but not the capital gain, because if let's say the stock was worth $400,000 on the day of her death, and now it's worth $1 million.
But you wouldn't pay it anyway, Joe, until it gets liquidated.
Now she's liquidating.
Now, of course, then there would be
That's
taxes
what I said.
Due now, but there are back taxes to be owed.
No.
It's current taxes.
It's only current taxes. And I said, well, wait a minute. If this was a trust that was inherited, Dad would have got it, and the step-up would have been on the date of death.
Right.
And then, if it was added to his trust, the next step-up would have been on the date of his death.
Correct.
It wouldn't have been double taxation.
That's right.
So I said, there's 40 grand that you probably, and I'm wearing your hat, and I said probably carefully. I said, you need to talk to a CPA. He said, well, I've got one. They told me to go to this other CPA. And I said, well, if I were you, I would go talk to her and say, hey, look, could this be rectified, or is there liability? I mean, you're wearing a different hat, right? Mm-hmm. So if I screw up and your client and my client says, did Joe screw up, and you can see that I did, you'd have to say, hey, from my standpoint, he did, because you're a professional and you catch somebody or you see the symptom and you say there might be an extenuating circumstance, but we need to do some research. So what happened is I had two bad vibes with one
attorney,
one account, just because, again, here's my poor client, my buddy, he's not sophisticated. Now that he understands all this stuff, and then he's saying, how much am I going to have to go through? How long a period of time with this argument for the next year, maybe 2 years? What if I sue the broker and say they should have done this? That could go to court, arbitration. You might have to bring an attorney in.
Who filed the tax return?
Well, you see, I stopped asking questions at that point, because what you're doing is what I would do if we really wanted to stir the pot. But now he's saying, I'll pay the 40 grand in taxes. Be done with this thing.
Yeah, I know, but that's a shame.
Isn't that a shame?
It's a shame. He might even be able to go back, and because they never file an estate tax return either. Well, maybe they ought to file an estate tax return for the wife.
Listen, right now it's been turned over to a CPA, not an accountant, a CPA. So I'm assuming this is a legitimate person that is credentialed, that is only going to do the right thing by him. I did ask him for another meeting, but he's kind of sick of me going to meetings with him because I keep finding all these problems.
You are the scene, Joe.
Well, you know, Victoria, you know, it's like when you try to counsel somebody and try to help them do the right thing, and then they don't want the help.
Oh, that's like every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's
every day.
You do the
life.
Best you can. Mm-hmm.
And but what did my mom used to say? You can lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink.
That's
same
right.
old story. Yeah. That's called a horse.
And it's very frustrating.
That's because we're acting like one.
And women.
And men.
I'll go down that path.
Well, she's sitting next to me. She just hit me, so I had to clean up her. 888-221-8990. So we have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, REMAX of Stewart here. If you have any questions about real estate, this is a good person to call. Vince Rizzino, CPA. Probably on an almost weekly basis, I call Vince, because you think nothing is new and something constantly comes up just like this. One thing.
And you never give me an easy one, Joe. Well, they're always difficult.
Yes. Well,
see, I know the easy stuff. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't have that label on my head called CPA. Mine says no. Yeah. I call CPA.
But you see, they pay me not only to remember, but they pay me to go nowhere to go to find the answers.
See, that's the magic thing. You have to know where to go. When to hold them? What's that?
When to
Kenny
fold
Rogers.
Them?
Yeah, Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
The gambler.
The gambler. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to get Pastor Tom to change my song into.
You want to put the Happy Day or Happy Days?
Oh, Happy Days. When Jesus washed my
sins away.
Oh, Happy Days. Here, and I have a question for you, Victoria.
Wait a minute. We got usurped by an attorney.
Okay. Well, what?
And he's going to do it anyway.
I'm going to ask her a question, because part of my job is to keep the show on track. And when you have somebody as beautiful and experienced as Victoria, I've got to take advantage of her. Well, now, how does that
work? Pay him in vitamins.
You're paying him in vitamins?
I am talking strictly of her intelligence, you realize.
Uh-oh.
Victoria, here's the question.
I've known this girl when she wasn't that smart way back.
Interest rates in the last couple of months have come down about 0.5%. Have you noticed any changes in the local real estate market?
No. See, but it does make a change. Like yesterday, I called Mike up because I wrote a contract. I showed one of my listings, and we wrote it up, and Mike was a great help, you know, getting everything put together.
Mike Paula, she's talking about Mike the mortgage Paulus broker, right?
Yeah. And what happened was, you know, my people were saying, how, you know, what are interest rates? And it was kind of interesting. They asked these questions, and they're of the age of us where, you know, they remember when interest rates were higher than went down lower. So I said, why would you complain even at 5%, you know? But it was like 4.75.
Right now, yeah. Right.
So things were still where they want them to be. So, yes, it made them, and they were looking at this as a second home. Wow. And that made it even more affordable for them. That was easy for them. But they're having to keep all this on track right now, so the economy can just keep going around and around.
Well, when Mike called in on the morning show, he talked T-bills. which are below 3%, 2.76 today, mm. which is the gauge that they use for 30-year mortgage rates, interest rates. So it's an interesting thing how they've come down in spite of the economy being strong and unemployment being good, in spite of all that stuff. This is a weird, positive, wonderful economy, but it's different.
It is very different, Joe.
Yeah.
And I think the Fed is controlling things much more today than they ever
did. Well, you know, Trump had his gun out on our heads, you know.
Well, he told Powell.
Flat out.
Yeah, don't raise rates. You're going to kill this economy.
Everything's good. Why are you trying to mess it up? And you know, and I, listen, behind what happens with Trump, now forgive me, folks, but he's transparent. I don't think the guy has a secret in the world, because if he tweets it out every day, not that I like all his tweets, but anyway, what happens is Vince Rizzino, Joe Martek, Victoria Lloyd, all of us are subject to the economy because it affects us directly. If all of a sudden real estate dies, you're not making any money. If all of a sudden people are losing money left and right, I'm not making any money. And people are coming in to do their taxes, they're going to negotiate like crazy what you're going to get earned.
Or worse, they go out of business.
Well, yeah. If you keep buying on Amazon and they keep making robots, it's not going to make any difference anyway, Joe, because we're going to be obsolete.
You going to have a chip in your head before you die?
Well, I'm Chips Ahoy. No. <You know? laughs>
She's not getting the mark of the beast, so don't even go there.
Our breaststroke teacher over there is shaking his head. You know, he's not seeing.
Well, she did use the word ahoy, which gives me an opening to just tell the audience that I'm not going to be with you until March 13th.
Where are you going?
A couple of celebrations. Wisconsin buddies are coming down to celebrate the fact that I've been out of Wisconsin for 10 years, and they're very happy about that. And I'm very happy.
They're happy that you're not
Florida.
Up there with them anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, geez, that says a lot.
And then another celebration is my old fraternity, AE Pi. Some brothers are getting together for cruise, so this is my last show today.
Two cruises, he's going back to back.
Well, I'm happy for you.
He gets the boat from one and gets on the boat from the other.
That's great.
You know, here's what he's not telling you. Now, this is my opinion. The guys in Wisconsin said, okay, Alan's going to be dead, so here's what I'll bet you a cruise that he'll be dead by then. And the other guy says, you're on. Well, then Alan lived. So Alan's got to go on a cruise. Is that fair?
Anything you say, Joe. I mean, it's your show.
Anything you say. My new clients are from Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah, so I texted them today because on the news today it said it's icy and cold in Wisconsin.
That's
so error. I said icy and cold in Wisconsin, and I put a smiley face with sunglasses on.
That really upset them.
They're buying here.
Are they as nice as I am?
They are. They're lovely. They really were very, very
They're not
nice.
An attorney.
No, well, attorneys can't be
nice. Well, she was a school teacher.
I think, in all honesty, if I were still practicing, I think you'd be saying that Greg Fasula and I are probably two of the nicest attorneys you ever met.
Yes, he would. He says that now.
Can you imagine me actually saying that, Vince?
Yeah.
No, that's what I thought.
Well,
no,
when he gets hit on the head.
But you're past the point of practicing. You should get into the big leagues now.
What does that mean?
You can only need to practice so long before you get it.
I mean, I just got out of the rookie league last year. You know,
what happens is I get a you know. For those of you that don't know, and anyway that listens regularly, know Alan Love is a retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, but he is also a Messianic Jew. And I prefer to call him a messy Jew, because if you looked at him, he looks like a refugee from Russia, rabbi. But that's okay. And that's kind of the truth, isn't it?
Right. But to keep the show on track, I do have a question. I do have a question for you, Vince.
Oh, okay, Alan.
A number of years ago, and this is something that affects me, in full disclosure, I worked for a brokerage firm. Haven't worked for that brokerage firm in 30 years. But I get
he's talking about stock brokerage, which is Joe Martek Financial Advisor. Yeah. Brokerage could be real estate, too. You know.
Right, okay.
Broker, you could be a boat broker.
A stock investment firm. I get a letter from an insurance company last year saying the brokerage firm purchased an annuity for me. And to make a long story short, I was expecting to get a monthly payment because of that annuity. They told me how much it would be. But I also got a lump sum check,
right,
which is going to put me in a different tax bracket. Now, how do you guard against that?
You don't.
You really don't. And really, look at it, it's almost like it's a gift. And you got to look at it that way. It's a gift. It's something and you didn't expect it.
You got a wonderful problem. Yeah. You're going on two cruises. They're paying for it because you didn't die. And you got a big chunk of money to go with.
Yeah.
And you're going to, now with tax reform this year.
Yeah, you won't be paying much on it.
First 20 grand is exempt, right?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. And then if let's say he makes another 50 on top of it this year.
Not his bracket, he'll be probably in a 15% to 17%.
So he's going to pay $7,000 or $8,000 in tax. So how much is this check for him? I mean, you're looking better to me every minute.
$1.98
That's a heck of a cruise for $1.98
I was hoping more. He said like $100,000 I was going to go cuddle up.
No, it was about a fifth of $100,000
20 grand Well, hey, isn't that found money? Give me $20,000 any day.
But I mean, glad how does it happen that? For 30 years, I have no idea that tax this deferred. Was ever done.
They don't need to send you a tax return. They need to send you nothing until you take money out.
Right.
But, I mean, I didn't even know that the firm even did this for me.
And you're complaining.
Yes.
No, I'm not complaining.
That was their internal communications that you didn't know this. Fred, when you exited from that firm, they didn't do an interview with you?
No.
They just fired
me. They just fired you.
That was it.
Hey, here's your box. Put all your stuff in and get out, right?
I just switched to another brokerage firm because I wanted more independence.
Well, you know what? That's probably upset them. And they didn't tell you everything. But the point is, that was probably your contractual. And you know how these contracts are written by attorneys for attorneys. And even attorneys can't read them. And it said every year you're there, they may add so much to an annuity. And then at some point, you're vested, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And then, bam. All of a sudden, you didn't know about it, and now because you officially get old or something, they want you to take the money and leave. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, you invested from the time you left, as you found out.
Not 30 years later.
I found out 30. But
almost $1,000 a year, a little less.
They caught up to you.
Well, guess
in
what?
In a good way.
You won. I mean, I love the concept because even though it's all ordinary income, it's just this year. And when did you get the check? When did they cut the check? I should say.
About 3 weeks ago.
This calendar year.
It'll be a 19 tax.
So now you got 15 months or so before you have to file a tax return. Lucky you.
So now you can sit down with Vince and have a plan.
That's right. Have a plan.
Exactly.
Yeah. We like plans.
888-221-8990. Cruising in the Caribbean does not sound too bad.
No.
Nah. You know, especially right now. You know, it's going to be nice and warm. And
How about April? What's it going to be like in April?
Even warm. It's going to be just as good or better.
Good, because I'm going to be doing
it. But Florida's good in April, too. Hey, speaking of which, are you going to get off the boat?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know how. Either I'm going to go on excursions or I'm going to be thrown over the boat. So far, it's just been excursions, but my fraternity brothers have said they want to size me up and...
this is not a pretty picture.
No, but
it is.
You know, they're very truthful people.
Of course.
I respect them. So, you know, if they want to throw me over the boat, they've got good reason.
Victoria, you've been on lots of cruises, right?
No, one.
Really?
I did the QM2.
The QE2?
QE2.
You go all the way over and fly back or go over and fly back?
I went all the way to England and then flew back.
Okay, so then you didn't stop in any ports. There were no ports on the way.
Just where the Titanic went down.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. Can I ask the real estate agent a question?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Hi.
Okay. All right. Hi there. Thank you for your service. As a matter of fact, I really appreciate your show.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question. I'm a buyer. I'm in a contract, a real estate contract, and I'm just verifying. Not that I don't trust the people that work for me, but I'm just trying to just verify something here. Like, for example, if on an as-is contract, if the seller crosses out, I think it says $500 for warranty, do I have any say in this if I don't like the fact that it was crossed out, or can I counter by saying $250? How does that work?
There's a little confusion here, because an as-is contract usually means there's not going to be any money given back to you to do any repairs. So it usually our regular contracts have a percentage in there or a dollar figure.
Well, she's talking about the warranty deed, I think. Are they gonna...
No, she's not.
You're on the right track.
Okay, thank you.
You're on the right
track. What happens here is you're saying, hey, I'm buying an as-is property. I'm going to have a home inspection. Let's say I find some things wrong. Are they going to pay any money towards this? Correct?
Well, I was looking through the contract to see if they crossed that out too, because it looks like they're crossing out everything that the seller could do, you know?
Okay. You know, it's hard for me because I don't have a contract in front of me to see exactly, but from what you're telling me, there's a little conflict in there. And I definitely, if I were you, and I would have a real estate attorney review your contract before you made any real decisions on what you're doing. But let's say in a normal situation, and as his contract means you have your time to do your due diligence, whether it's 7 days, 10 days, 15 days, whatever days you have. Even if you did your home inspection in 3 days, you have the total 15 days to make up your mind. For any reason, you can cancel. So you can come back and say, hey, Victoria, meaning I'm the seller, I had the home inspection. I really want to buy your property, but they found a couple of things wrong, and I'd like a $500 credit at the time of closing. So,
whatever the dollar figure is.
Or whatever it is. I'm just using a hypothetical, okay, to make it easy for you. And the other thing that you must understand is lenders do not want to see any repair work that needs to be done to your home. So that $500 has to be stated in a different way, like $500 towards your closing cost or something of this sort, which the seller would contribute to, because your lender does not want to see that there's things wrong with this house.
Here's another question. Right. Are you going through a realtor? Is a realtor helping you with this?
Well, yeah. As I said before, I am, but I want to also get, because, yes, I am, but, you know, sometimes you ask questions, other people questions here and there. So I heard you guys on the radio, and that is why I was asking.
Well, I want you to know, we're not all created equal. I'm as honest as the day's long, and I'm not saying your realtor isn't. But if I were you, I'm just saying I think you need to have somebody review that.
I would
have a real estate attorney, because the problem that we have is, as agents, we're not attorneys and we're not allowed to give legal advice. I can tell you how a normal contract would normally be, but I can't tell you exactly what I feel like you should do. But my actual feeling, because you did you sign and initial this already?
That's why I've been calling to ask a couple of questions.
Okay.
Yes. Absolutely. Your agent should be there for you. You should be asking those questions, and she should be explaining this to you so you can understand.
The seller also checked off the box that seller shall pay installment due prior to closing, and buyer shall pay installment due after closing.
That's okay. That's normal. That's a good thing. That's fine. That's normal. That's normal. That's just your prorations that are out there that they're going to have on your tax records and things of that sort. Are you buying in a community? Or are you buying like a single family? Okay.
Community single family.
Yes.
It's a single family in a HOA community.
Yes, and then you're going to have an HOA form that tells you how much your HOAs are, and they need to give you bylaws, updated budget, rules and regulations. You need all those also.
Okay. And then I need to speak with the HOA Association people.
Absolutely, but your agent again should be doing this.
Let me ask you a question. Did you give your phone number to Pastor Tom when you called in? Your name and number?
Yes.
Let Victoria call you after the show or tomorrow off the air. Let her counsel you and help you through this thing. I mean, we help people all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you and give you direction, but like I say, because I'm not an attorney, I can't give you legal advice. But I can definitely put you in the right direction.
Right. And then this is normal for her, for my agent as well, I'm sure.
Well, normal in what way? You know, knowing what to do?
In terms of the legal things that you just talked about.
Oh, she should, absolutely. She's supposed to know that.
She should walk you through that contract step by step and explain each one of those things that's crossed out, and is this to your benefit or not?
Right.
You need to be educated.
Well, see, if I was your agent, that's what we would be doing. Because, see, now I represent you. That's a different story. you're calling me on the outside and saying this is what I have in front of me, so I can only guide you on what I'm hearing. So I can't give you legal advice on that, but I definitely can give you guidance on what normally a contract like that should have.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank
okay, you. But welcome. Don't forget, make sure you get some advice, okay?
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Victoria, you brought up a great point. Not every real estate transaction, you helped my friend Nancy. She did not have a real estate attorney. When should a person use a realtor but also use a real estate attorney?
Well, it at any time you can still use a real estate attorney. Like, you know, if they say, okay, Victoria, it's not that I don't trust you, but I'd like to have an attorney review the documents. The law says, you know, in the state of Florida, they don't have to have one. That's your choice. We always give them the option if they want to do it. You know, when you have a FARBAR, these are called FARBAR contracts. These are standard contracts that we're filling in the form, meaning like here's a blank and here's a blank. Right. They're and very self-explanatory.
Right, and let's make it clear, that's not legal advice.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Now, they're crossing things out in this document, okay? And they're changing it. And they're making these changes. So unless her agent's there to really explain to her what these things mean, but there's a conflict. There's no as-is contracts with those dollar figures in there.
What happens is, and forgive me now, but there's people that are brand new in the business that don't have a lot of experience, and people like you, Vic, that have been in the business 300 years, even though you're only 30. You know, it's kind of a miracle.
It's only $299, not $3, thank you.
Anyway, what happens is, I guess the first thing I would do is go back to my agent and say, hey, go walk me through these things and explain to me why. Is this to my benefit or not? Can we change them back? Because just because somebody crosses something out and initials it doesn't mean you can't say, no, I'm not doing that.
Okay, can I explain? Let me explain one thing to you. Let me explain one thing to you. I'm going to give you an as-is contract today,
right,
Joe. You're going to buy a house from me.
Okay.
That as-is contract, and as a seller, I want you to be both parties. That seller has to have that property in the exact same condition as you had your home inspection. Prime example.
What if you didn't have an inspection?
But that's your option.
Okay.
Okay. But everything that you've seen in that home that was working, because that's why you're moving forward, the refrigerator works, the dishwasher works.
Right.
You looked that over yourself. Those items cannot break down just because it's an as-is contract. They have to be in the same condition and the same working order as the day of closing.
Okay.
There's too many sellers out there that says, I don't care. It's an as-is contract. No, you do care. It has to be in the same. Why, if I sold it to you, would you want that person to fix it? Because you're buying it thinking these things are
working. But is it as is when you sign the contract, Victoria? Not when you close, but when you sign. So you're buying it as is. Now, what happens if your appliances break down the very next day?
Well, you've already bought it. It's done. What if you go to the doctor?
No, it's the day before closing, you said.
No, I'm saying while you're still under contract, before you close, if that item breaks down while you're doing that walkthrough, you need to repair it.
The seller needs
to. You're talking about the seller. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm confirming what you said.
The seller and buyer.
The seller's responsible because the buyer is buying as is at the date of contract.
If it breaks down the next day?
Yeah, date of contract.
Well,
this has to be the same.
What?
Meaning, contract from the time of contract to the time of closing.
That's what I'm
saying. The same.
So when you go in there and say, okay, I'm buying this house, it's like take a snapshot. This is what I'm buying.
Right.
That's the as is.
Well,
if it changes from then to closing, it's a different. Then
Vince,
you have to
that's
fix
a prime
it.
Example. You really want a home inspection.
Yes.
I tell you, I mean, I've had some agents here recently that tell their, oh, this is a nice house. You know, it's my listing. It's beautiful. Don't worry about it. But I say have one.
Yeah.
I am the
kind.
Joe, how am I? I'd rather you find something wrong than not find something wrong. I'm about the most honest person that you'd ever find.
You don't want people to come back and say you didn't tell me that or you didn't do this.
Well, one of my clients, Linda, she says, Victoria, I'm telling everybody about you. You're the only agent that's ever taken me through a house and shows me all the things that are wrong with the house where they try to hide them.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say now. And she goes, now I go in houses and I know what to look for.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't want her to buy something and then call me and say, God, Victoria, you know, that roof's
leaking. What did you sell me?
You know, because I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me.
Absolutely.
I'm only treating you like I... And you know what, Joe will tell you, I never even look. I don't even know what I make on a deal. Honestly, I don't. People go, oh, how much you making, Vic? I go, oh, you know what, I don't know. Let me look at a title company. We're closing right now. They said, what's your commission on? I said, you know, I don't know what the other agent's paying. Let me go look and see. I don't know, because until my job is done, I don't count that at all.
Well, you know, that's like, I'm not going to work with you because you don't pay me enough.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And
remember, that's the wrong way to go. Either you're in the job to do the right job. Look at, like, car salesmen, when they see you walking in the door, if you look scrungy, they hide and let the next guy take that customer.
Yeah, the guy with the bib overalls that bought all the Cadillacs, remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But look at my brother in the fleet he is.
Yeah. But Vic, I have a question for you, though. Is there a difference between, quote, a seller's broker or a buyer's broker?
Well, it's who they're representing.
But could it be a conflict?
Well, you know, we are transaction brokers, and a transaction broker means, and you have to be a transaction broker. I mean, I think of all these things, and it's mind-boggling, because I have Joe as my buyer and you as my seller. I have to do honest and fair to both of you.
Yeah.
I can't say Joe can say, hey, you know, Victoria, really, in reality, if he comes up $5,000 more, I'm going to pay for it. But I can't go say to you, take it up $5,000 more. And I'm going to tell you the other thing that I do. And I do this every single time. When somebody's in the house and they'll go, we're going to list it for this price. And I'm not going to take any less. I said, shut up. I don't even want to hear it. Keep your mouth up. I don't want to know what your bottom line is. I have no wants, because I guarantee you the next contract will have that bottom line on it. I don't know where it comes from. And they'll swear that you told people. And I never tell. You know what I tell people? If you want to make an offer, I will present any offer you want.
Right.
That's what I'm here for. I'm your negotiator.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me what you... Well, I don't want to embarrass them. You're not embarrassing them, because I'm the one that's in front of them. Don't think you're embarrassing them. You're not. That's why buyers and sellers never get together.
888-221-8990. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, is here. A good person to ask any questions on contracts or whatever happens. She's only been in real estate 1980.
No.
78?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, 78.
1978, yeah.
Wow. I think we met in about 80.
I think it was 80.
Yeah.
I do.
To scare me to death. You know how old I am? And she's older? No.
Yeah.
And you're old.
Joe Martek and Eric Martek come into town, and every girl in town were like, oh, my God, I love him.
That was my brother. It wasn't me.
Well, please.
888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place. That client came up from Fort Lauderdale.
Somebody's coming.
Yeah, all the way up. And I actually picked up this show in the Bahamas. Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah. When were you there?
Well, last year.
Every
summer when I go over, you know. You know me, I don't
go part of Bahamas?
I don't fly like you do. See, I take my boat and I go to all these islands where there's no people.
Yeah.
You go to play golf. No, really. You go to watch your husband play golf.
Yeah, I got to have fun.
Then you go shopping.
I go to Nassau. See? I go gambling.
Yeah, okay, same thing.
I go gambling.
There you go. See, no, when I go into a casino, I don't gamble. I just give them the money and I say, take it, because I'm going to lose it anyway.
Okay, there's your problem.
There's
right
my problem.
There. No. There's your problem. You go in very negatively, and you got the negative five. So we're at the Super Bowl party.
So I'm going to give you money, and you're going to go gamble for me.
No, I want you to go in there and say you're going to win.
That's right.
Okay. Positive. If I'd have had threes at the end of each quarter, let me take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe and Victoria.
Hi.
And Vince. God bless you all for what you do for all the people out there that have the questions.
Thank you.
Victoria, I have a question in reference to a reverse mortgage. If there's a selling situation and there's a reverse mortgage on that property and there's a desire to, I'm trying to look at getting my parents down from Massachusetts for kind of the 6 month thing, you know, during the cold months. And it's a possibility of being able to take over a reverse mortgage. How does that work?
I don't know if you can take over a reverse mortgage or not. Mike Paulus could answer those questions the best. Some FHA for mortgages
Is there a reverse mortgage already on the property?
The reverse mortgage is already on the property by the woman that was in.
Okay. Now she wants to sell it to your folks. Place. Now your folks, they can't take over a reverse mortgage. They'd have to pay it off, and they could get a new one.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Is I'm dealing with a friend who's a real estate agent, and she was saying that they needed to know, or she needed to find out how much that was owed on it. Is that how that works? And then
it's like
it's
any
paid
other mortgage.
When,
let's say the house costs $200,000, and they have a $100,000 mortgage on it, and your folks want to buy it. They got to pay off that mortgage and pay the rest in cash or with a new mortgage. So, you know, it's like any other loan, and you can't. I'm not 100,000%, but I'm 99.9%. You cannot assume a reverse mortgage.
I've never heard of that before, but like I said, Mike Paulus would be the best one to talk to about that.
If you want, you left your name and number, we can have him call you and make sure you're on doing the right thing. Is that is that good?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, I appreciate the addressing of that, and thank you. If anything of the information comes up, I would certainly appreciate it. I'm trying to learn about that.
Hey, I understand. Listen, nothing is easy until you know it. All right. You have a wonderful day. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
God bless you all.
Bye.
You
too.
You see, reverse mortgage is just a mortgage like any other. Most people keep thinking it has something different. But if I have a reverse mortgage on my house, and I die, supposedly, my kids have to sell the house,
within
pay off
one
the
year.
Reverse mortgage within
right.
a year.
Within a year, yeah. Which is lovely. I think that's great.
They give you plenty of time.
But it's not the buyer. The buyer comes to the table with cash either from a mortgage or their own funds. They don't care about the reverse mortgage.
And I think where they're confused is that it's based on your age. There's a formula that they use on how much money you can get for each property.
Right.
So for you to step in, you wouldn't qualify under those
the
brackets.
Key thing is that
you might be under 62 to begin with, and you wouldn't qualify.
That's right.
Besides the rates, they may be able to get better rates elsewhere. Mike would help them with that.
All you have to do is once you know the rules, then you make an intelligent decision. When you don't know the rules, it's hard to make an intelligent decision.
Well, so I'd say that's true in everything in life, don't you?
It's called
the unknown.
Except women in marriage.
We're the known of the unknown here.
That's why we're here, Joe.
888-221-8990. Now, this is toll-free from any place. And we're almost out of time for today, but you can call the radio station anytime, Pastor Dave or Tom or Jonathan. They'll take your name and number and pass it on to us, and we'll call you back.
We'd love to. So call us anytime.
888-221-8990. And that was a couple of good questions when it comes to real estate.
It is. They're great.
Yeah. All right, guys. Listen, we're just about, how many seconds do we have left?
30.
Well, in 10 seconds, you'll have 30 seconds.
Oh. What's 10 and 30?
40.
Oh boy!
Right. I'm going to take a few seconds just to say goodbye for 5 weeks. Everybody be in good health.
Yes,
please listen
to
the show. It's a great show. This team is just marvelous. They want to help you, and that's their number one mission. And we thank all of you for listening, and we thank all of you for your questions. And I'll see you in 5 weeks.
Well, you have
fun.
A wonderful
I'm
time. Yes, Alan. We're all jealous.
All right. So I guess we should say goodbye. What do you think?
Goodbye.
Say
thank
goodbye.
You.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Are we really off?
Not yet.
Never been a sinner. I never sinned. I got a friend in Jesus.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.
You are glorious, O God, glorious, O God, awesome in your power and praise. You are glorious, O God, glorious, O God, glorious in all of your ways. Oh, you are glorious, O God, glorious, O God, awesome in your power and praise. You are glorious, O God, glorious, O God.